This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories.
An Interlude of Intrigue, A Tale of Three Kings, by Leslie Herron. Chapter 2, Allegro.
A union born from necessity rarely grows love. My parents were certainly no exception. My mother, Octavia, was the fourth daughter of Fuscar, and barely more than a child herself as she wed the centuries-old king of Ebra. A passionless arrangement with a singular goal, heirs. The biology of elf and man were not designed for one another, and they found it difficult to conceive. Where they had hoped for many, they eventually begat two sons a decade apart. But despite how clinical our parents were with one another, they loved my younger brother and I more than anything. A sentiment not shared by my older sibling.
The synchronized movements of gears working in tandem to create unified form and function. Few things in life were more satisfying to Elias. Given the choice, he would have become an engineer, or even a technomancer, should he eventually show a proclivity for magic. But, as his father liked to remind him,
kings are not allowed the luxury of choice.
For now, however, he was a prince, and as such, felt the need to relish in this escape while he still had the leisure of childish delights. He steadied himself with a deep intake of breath, holding it as he slid the final spring into place. He exhaled slowly as he turned the small, circular device over, staring at the face of it with its curious numbers and tiny hands. It had barely taken him a fortnight to take apart and reassemble such a complex thing, but as he wound the fob at the top, his eyes lit up. The small device responded with a pleasant click before settling into a rhythmic sound of ticking. Elias let out a bark of laughter as he held up the circular object.
Lucian, look! I got it working!
Nestled into the padded lounge chair beneath the window, Lucian barely glanced up from his book he was pretending to read.
Hooray!
His voice was bored and flat as he turned over another page.
You started with a chunk of otherworldly scrap, broke it into pieces, and cobbled it back into a chunk of otherworldly scrap that ticks. I shall inform the peasantry at once.
With a roll of his eyes, Elias returned his attention to the small silver device.
It isn't junk. It tells the time.
There was a little smile in his words as he watched one of the tiny hands move.
So does the giant ball of fire in the sky, and it doesn't sound like a cricket with a stutter.
Elias frowned as he set the pocket clock back down on his work table.
You're in a sour mood.
Groaning, Lucian snapped shut the book in his hands.
No, little halfling. I'm beside myself with joy at being tasked with something so demeaning as babysitting my replacement all morning.
He let out a soft chuckle.
As if I had nothing better to do.
He sucked in an angry breath through his nose.
Speaking of which, if Father asks, I spent the day teaching you basic battlefield strategy like he wanted me to.
Elias looked over at the man who shared a father with him. He may be young, but not so much that he didn't understand the delicate nuances of his birth. He often felt bad for his older brother, having something so important stripped from him.
You know none of this is actually our fault, right?
He would gladly hand the throne back if he could. Lucian turned, meeting the gaze of his younger sibling.
That doesn't mean that I should hate every fiber of your being any less.
Interrupted from his thoughts by the sound of wailing in the hallway, Elias stood from his chair just as the chamber doors burst open. Varen, his baby brother, was sobbing and clutching his fists against his left eye, blood oozing down his face and arms.
Varen? What happened? Elias closed the gap between them and knelt, searching the terror-stricken features on his sibling's face. His clothing was torn, elbows and knees scuffed, and several dark bruises had developed all over his body. There was even half a garden's worth of leaves and twigs sticking out of his hair and clothes. Elias gingerly tugged Varen's hand away from his face, watching him wince. Beneath all that red, he could see a long gash that stretched up from his chin and disappeared into his hairline, moving right over his left eye. The amount of blood seeping into the white of the orb was cause enough for concern, but there wasn't any response to his movements.
Hold still. We'll get you cleaned up. Just tell me what happened.
Viren managed to compose himself enough to stop crying while his brother dabbed at his face with a handkerchief.
I was in the Northern Tower, and the door closed behind me. I called for help, but nobody heard me. I was in there for hours, and no one came looking for me.
At the sound of snickering coming from behind him, Elias's suspicions became clear. His mouth formed a line as he wiped away another stain of blood.
"So you tried climbing down the wall?"
Varen nodded, tears welling up in his eyes once more.
"You know those vines can't hold you. You're lucky to be alive. What were you doing in the tower in the first place?"
His gaze flickered over towards his big brother before Varen found his words.
I know Mother likes jewelry, and I heard Lucian say there was some of his mother's stuff still up there. I thought..."
Dropping the rag, Elias spun on his heel.
"Of course you did. Look at his face."
He threw a hand down towards the child.
"Why would you trick him like that?"
Giving it up like a bad habit, Lucian set down his book and stood in a slow, fluid motion. He kept his enjoyment hidden, save for the barest smile on his lips as he moved towards them.
"You give me too much credit. I was merely informing the maid that my mother's belongings were growing dusty and that she must go up there to clean."
He sucked in an overdramatic sigh.
"I also told her, under no circumstances should she rifle through my mother's jewelry chest. And if young Varen here overheard me, well, that was certainly not my intent."
Reaching out, Lucian grabbed the child's chin in his hand and tilted his head up to get a better look at the damage.
"Tisk, tisk. Your mother will be so upset when she hears of this."
Terror rippled through him, and Varen reached out, grabbing his brother's hand.
"You can't tell her. She'll be so angry with me, and I'm in enough trouble already."
Lucian pulled a face and nodded sympathetically.
"Of course, of course. My lips are sealed. But your brother here? Well, he's always wanted to be your mother's favorite."
He knelt down, plucking the rag up off the floor and handing it to the boy, indicating he should put it against his eye as he dropped his voice to a whisper.
"I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't tell her just so she loves you less."
As the sound of Varen's wails doubled, Elias shoved his eldest brother back, surprising them both.
"Leave him alone! Stop saying things like that!"
With an act of feigned surprise, Lucian covered his mouth with his fingertips as he stood.
"Ah, so the truth comes out. You do want to drive us apart. And you know how much I care for the young prince. You probably locked him up there so you could have Mummy and Daddy all for yourself."
He let out a mirthless chuckle. Varen's face contorted in misery as fat tears streamed down his cheeks. He sniffled as he met his brother's gaze.
Did you shut me in the tower?"
Shaking his head, it was everything Elias had not to pummel his older brother right then and there.
"Of course not. I wouldn't do that to you."
But at the sound of his siblings crying, he spun on his heel once more to face Lucian.
"You should watch your tongue in the presence of your future king, peasant."
It was a low blow, and he knew it.
But he was young and stupid and, most of all, angry. The fist struck him in the face before he even registered that Lucian had moved. It sent Elias stumbling back into the table, lights popping in his eyes and warm blood streaming from his nose. With a cry of rage, he charged his eldest brother, tackling him at the waist. Lucian barely shifted his weight, easily remaining upright as the gangly teenager thrashed back and forth in wild attempts to uproot him. He raised a fist, ready to strike the back of the obnoxious upstart's skull, when two silhouettes darkened the doorway.
"Boys, I heard crying. Is everything—"
Queen Octavia gasped aloud as her gaze fell across the room.
"By the Scola! What is going on in here?"
Her eldest, face bloodied, was wrapped around the waist of her stepson, both paused in the middle of a heated battle. Her youngest was covered in blood and branches, holding a sopping rag against his left eye. Octavia didn't wait for an answer before she swooped down on the boy, scooping him up into her arms.
"Oh, my poor child! What happened? Are you okay? Please don't hate me!"
Varen barely managed to choke out the words over his body-trembling sobs. Octavia resisted the urge to chuckle at such an absurd thought as she pulled him in close, shushing him as he buried his head in her shoulder. A quick glance at the other two told her there was much more to this story. She turned to the woman who entered behind her.
"Ondine, I know you are on business for my husband, but do you think you could take Varen to the healers for me before you go?"
The towering dryad bowed deeply.
"Of course, your majesty."
Octavia helped bundle Varen into her arms before turning her icy glare on the others.
"Thank you. I will be there shortly."
She waited until Ondine was out of the room before she pushed her hands to her hips, narrowed her eyes, and, with a single word, expressed her outrage.
"Explain."
Elias moved forward, pointing over his shoulder as he did.
"He tricked Varen into the Northern Tower and then locked him in just to blame it on me."
Lucian scoffed as he folded his arms across his chest.
"I did no such thing."
"Who else then?"
Elias turned, looking up at his eldest brother.
"Doors don't just lock themselves."
"Oh, I don't know. Maybe it was one of the hundreds of other people that call this dump a home."
Lucian rolled his eyes, keeping his gaze on the spoiled prince.
"Enough!"
Octavia leveled her glare on Lucian.
"And what of Elias's face?"
"What of it?"
He shifted his attention towards the queen, narrowing his eyes as he did.
"Did his nose break itself as well?"
Octavia didn't like the way her stepson was glaring at her. He had always harbored some ill will towards her, but he was barely containing himself at the moment. The war general took a half step forward.
"He deserved it."
"He is a child."
Octavia placed a hand on Elias's shoulder, gently moving him aside as she squared herself up against the elf.
"Don't you dare lay a hand on my son again."
She stared him down for several moments, watching his expressions cycle through rage and hatred.
"You are much older than your brothers. Perhaps you should act like it."
Fury burned in his belly as Lucian locked eyes with the woman who was the source of his anger. He towered over her, but she defiantly stood before him without so much as a flicker of fear. He felt a growl escape his throat.
"I was much older when you were still sobbing for your mother's tit. I was much older as your father quivered at my name and the sons of Fuskar died by the score at my blade. Don't speak to me like I am one of your filthy gremlins."
He spat on the ground at her feet.
I am older. The eldest and the only pure blood son of the Folkgrave line. A fact you would do well to remember."
tears mingled with her wrath, and before Octavia could talk herself from it, she reached up and slapped him. Unwilling to give her the satisfaction, Lucian refused to flinch or even acknowledge the stinging sensation in his cheek. He merely glowered back at her, his lips twitching into a mockery of a smile. Octavia held her stepson's gaze for only a single moment before she could handle that threatening look no longer. She took a swift step back, diverting her attention to her child.
"Elias, your father is looking for you. You were supposed to accompany him to council. Clean yourself off before he gets here."
She glanced around the room one final time before she hiked up her skirts and hurried down the hall after the dryad. A heavy weight hung in the air between Elias and his sibling as the two stood in silence, listening to the echoing sound of his mother's footsteps fade. He was ready to extend his hand, to call for a truce, when, without warning, Lucian shoved him hard enough to send him sprawling painfully across the floor.
"What's that for?"
The air knocked from his lungs. Elias wheezed in a gasp of dusty air as he stared up at the rafters. Halfway back to his lounge chair, Lucian stopped, huffing in disgust.
"Pick a reason."
Elias coughed as he pushed himself to his hands and knees. He ignored the still throbbing pain from his nose as he used his work table to climb to his feet.
"Father will have your hide when he hears of this, you know."
A sneer curled Lucian's lips as he scoffed once more.
"Doubtful. He's too busy to notice anything. Probably trying to hump another bastard prince out of that breed sow you call a mother."
As Elias stood, he began clearing his work table, a frown tugging at his brow.
"I understand why you hate mother and me."
He looked over his shoulder.
"But you should be nicer to Varen. He hero worships you."
"Over my dead body."
Lucian enunciated each word, carefully lacing them with venom.
"I've heard enough."
Zelfir stood in the doorway, his hands tucked behind him. Already annoyed with having to step away from a council meeting to gather his own child, his mood soured at the sight of his eldest son antagonizing his sibling.
"Lucian, do you not have matters more important to attend to?"
"Actually, father, you've stripped me of my title and my right to the throne."
He collapsed down into the chair beneath the window with disinterest.
"I actually don't have anything more important to do."
Wise to his son's silver tongue, Zelfir gave him a short shake of his head.
"Well, if that's the case, then perhaps you could lend your services to the stable hands, since you know so well about livestock."
He turned his attention to the younger son, who was hurriedly shoving tools into drawers by the work table.
"Elias, clean yourself up. A king should not arrive at council looking like he was in a barroom brawl."
Yes, father.
Elias swiped up a rag and scrubbed away his shame, wincing as he pushed it beneath his nose. Zelfir glanced about the room, noting the splattered blood across the stone floor. He lifted a brow as he turned back to his son.
"The council has been awaiting your arrival. Was this altercation the cause of your delay?"
Elias shook his head.
"No, father. I'm sorry. I was fixing this technomantic relic and I lost track of the time, ironically."
He snatched up the small pocket clock off the table and offered it to the king.
"It won't happen again, I promise."
Zelfir turned the ticking object over in his hands, scrutinizing it with a heavy sigh.
"Elias, we've spoken of this."
"I know, but I..."
"A king cannot save his people with trinkets and toys. You are nearly 15, and it is time to put such childish things behind you and grow up if you truly wish to be worthy of your kingdom."
Zelfir placed the odd machine back on the table and gestured towards the open door.
"Come, we have kept the war council waiting long enough, and there are many issues to be discussed. Your education on these matters begins now."
He used his free hand to usher his son from the room. And what of me, father?
Lucian jumped to his feet, leaving his chair and book behind. Zelfir stopped at the sound of his son's tiny voice. He turned, giving him a disparaging look.
What of you?
Lucian took a step forward.
Am I not still the best general your army has ever had? Why am I no longer qualified to sit in on war meetings?
Oh.
Zelfir waved him off, turning his back on the boy.
You are simply too busy to join us.
His voice hardened as he reached for the door handle.
You have far too many stables to muck to be sitting in on anything with us.
As the heavy wooden doors shut behind them, Lucian could feel that anger burn to life in his belly once more. He wanted to scream out, to cry, to return to a time when his father had taken him to council. But he could not go back. As the tick, tick, tick of the pocket clock relentlessly reminded him, time did not move in reverse, but like a river, ever flowing in one direction. But waters could be diverted. His hand shook with rage as he snatched up the tiny silver device and flung it hard to the ground, silencing the ticking once and for all. An Interlude of Intrigue, A Tale of Three Kings, is book 3.5 by Leslie Herron, a short novella to set the stage for the upcoming book 4 of the series. If you would like to listen to the first three books, please be sure to check the links in the description. And stay tuned every few weeks to hear the latest chapters as they are being written and recorded. We hope you enjoyed the story. I'm Chris Herron, and that's it for today's Tall Tale TV.